Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins. I know it was a little cool today. That bed probably felt pretty good to most, but we're glad you're here to worship with us today. Before we get started this morning, are there any visitors, any first-timers over in this area?
I believe everybody in this section has been here at least once before. Is that right? Everybody here been before? Everybody over here been before? Except Mike. You want to introduce your friend, Liz?
This is Michael Albert.
Don't be bashful, Liz. Stand up. Good having you today. The announcements are in your bulletin. Probably one of the most important tonight, Renaissance will be here. For those of you that haven't seen them, I haven't either. I understand it's a very worthwhile program. Try to come out tonight and support them. Is there any other announcements, Larry, other than what's in the bulletin?
There's one on the event for Jenkins Youth. It's 3 weeks down the road or two. It says the 14th, Saturday, February the 14th, it's really Saturday, February the 17th. Saturday, February the 17th. You used to be going to the Predators game. Tonight at 6 o'clock, it is a blessing. The Renaissance group, some of our people kept many of them last night. I think we had 9, 11, 12 in church folks' homes. And then the Bennett, how many did y'all have? A bunch? 9? So we, and we're looking forward to their presentation tonight. They were at Rocket Glade last night. They're going to Manchester today. They're coming back here tonight. And we thought they were going back to McKenzie tonight, but they have an opportunity to sing at Eagleville, Blackman, and Antioch School tomorrow. So they're going to be here singing at those three schools. And then going back to McKenzie after that. So we look for them to be in here 6 o'clock tonight. So bring your friends. You won't be disappointed. I mean, that is an understatement. Everybody that's heard the group can't believe that this is coming out of a West Tennessee college. They don't sound like college kids. They have bluegrass, they have gospel, they have a variety of music. 6 o'clock tonight.
Are there any other announcements that anybody? Yes, Deborah. Okay.
Mrs. Goodard is a cook, so
I'm saying
the cook time.
That's right.
We could set up a television for him, though, if he really wanted to work the kitchen. But I sure understand. So February the 11th instead of the 4th.
Now, this is going to be a Valentine's Day party, so that's the game for Valentine's Day. So if you see a child that is younger than 5, that you would like to bring them to the Valentine's party, that would be helpful.
Okay. Don't dump the 6 week old children with you then, right?
That's right.
Okay. Are there any other announcements? Right after this service? Children's choir today after this service. Okay, has the registration booklets been passed out?
They have.
What about any prayer requests, praise or prayer requests today? Yes. Gary makes out, there's a little girl that is a granddaughter of one of my employees that's had a kidney transplant, and she's been in and out of the hospital a lot. This week she is rejecting that kidney after 3 years, so she is going to have to go back on dialysis and go back on the list for a kidney. but he tells me that for a 10-year-old, you just cannot believe her state of mind, that she's happy with all of it. She's just, she has faith. 10-year-old with faith. It's just great to hear. Anything else? Yes, Mike.
You know, I'd just like to say, I don't want to keep running this and drowning about the Renaissance, but get yourself out tonight and come to me. I will be here to come to work on Christmas. You're doing that last night. I had a big concert. I listened to music all my life. And I can honestly tell you, I have been missed in my life. First, the caliber of singing, playing, and the love of God.
Trip. Yes. is. You know, you hear so many problems and everything, and it's also nice to hear the praises. That's what we're here for today, praise God. If you would, right now, let's pause for a moment of silent prayer as we prepare our hearts for worship today and have the lighting of the candles. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. If you would please open your hymnals, number 383, and stand with us this morning.
Thank you.
Lord God, so many needs, so much pain, so many concerns, but you have invited us to bring them to you. And we come as a group, bringing to each other, and together we lift our needs up to you, Lord. And we see this as one way to praise you as we express ourselves before you. We acknowledge that you are able, that you are willing to minister to every need that we have. And Lord, we know that you have blessed us so graciously. So we come with praise and thanksgiving. We come to express our dependence upon you. And Lord, we come to hear a word from you. And we come to say to you, Lord, we love you. And we come to say to other people, oh, how we love Jesus. And oh, how Jesus loves us. Because He loves us, we love you, Lord. We love Jesus, and we have been taught how to love. Thus, we love one another. So thank you for this gathering. Thank you for your love that has come in past gatherings, and we expect today. Help us to show it one to another. Father, you're great. Now, Lord, we just come remembering how Jesus taught us to pray, praying that prayer that He taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing as we state our faith through the Apostles' Creed. Remain standing for the singing of the Gloria. The Creed of the Gloria be displayed on the wall to my left.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Transgressions and my sin is always before me. The prayer of confession is in unison. It's in the bulletin day, if you would follow along. Then we'll have silent prayer afterward. Merciful God, in baptism you promised forgiveness and new life, making us part of the body of Christ. We confess that we remain preoccupied with ourselves, separated from sisters and brothers in Christ.
We cling to destructive habits, hold grudges, and show reluctance to welcome one another. We allow the past to hold us hostage. In your loving kindness, have mercy on us and free us from sin. Remind us of the promises you make in baptism, so that we may rise to new life and live together in grace.
Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness, 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Number 552 in your hymnal, please.
We'll sing all four verses.
Thank you. Lord, make me the instrument of your love and peace. This is an old prayer of God's faithful servant.
Goes up to the barn. I think he's probably mouthing too. And
so we had another one of God's creatures that has decided to live between our house and my mom and dad's house. But little did he know that Larry was watching him. So, we think that's probably why Oliver is not going out, because the fox is bigger than Oliver, and Oliver is probably deciding soon, maybe I'd better let him have the mice for a while anyway, because I have cat food. Having said that, it made me think about when we sang that song this morning, and it's one of my favorites, "Open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. Open my ears, I want to hear him." We don't have to worry about the fact that Jesus sees us all the time. Jesus is always watching over us, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing. And as Christians, once we believe in Jesus Christ, but also to help us stay to do and do the things that Christ would have us do. Because he's always there with us. Even when we forget, he's watching over us. So, like that little fox, beginning of Larry is like, you know, don't you forget that God is always watching you and always with you everywhere you go.
Sentence this morning comes from Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Would our ushers come forward, please? To the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Thank you all, and especially the children, do we thank this morning for sharing with us the music. They're all out for Children's Church. I really wish that the teenagers had stayed this morning, because I'm going to, they went to help the children's church, and I'm going to preach about something that I hope would be pertinent to the teenagers as well as the adults, the call to ministry, the call of God to discipleship, the call of God to a short-term work or a long-time work, a lifetime work. When Jesus calls, now I know that Jesus had not been born when Jeremiah wrote, but Jesus was there even at creation. So we see Jesus as he called Jeremiah, as God the Father called Jeremiah, Jesus was there with him. 3 in 1 and 1 in 3. I hope this morning that those who are listening, the hearer, and that's you, will, I hope to help you to explore the possibility and the probability Some people say that's possible but not probable. Well, I hope you'll explore the possibility and the probability that God is calling you to a particular work in His kingdom. Now, I don't know what it is He is calling you to, but if He calls you, you will know. Many are called, but few are chosen. These are words of Jesus. If I've been asked to explain a passage of Scripture, this is one that I have been asked over and over. What does that mean? You mean God calls some but then doesn't choose them? This phrase is the words of Jesus at the end of the parable of the great banquet. And the king has sent out people to invite people, more people into the banquet, a wedding feast. Luke records it, Matthew records it. This is the ending of Matthew's recording. In Matthew's account of this wedding feast, Matthew tells us that one man came and they looked around and he wasn't dressed properly. And they cast him out. And we talked on this, preached on this a few weeks ago, and I hope we understood that it wasn't the clothes that we wear to church that makes us welcome in the kingdom of God. It's not outward clothing that he was talking about, though it kind of sounds like it at first reading. But people are welcome in God's kingdom. This is a parable of the kingdom of God through their faith in Jesus Christ, not of their own efforts, not of their riches or something else. The man, evidently, the evidence is there in the story, you kind of have to read it in, that he was not a person who was clothed in his relationship with the king. And if it's a king, it being a kingdom parable, he was not clothed in the right relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. So, that is my understanding of that passage, that many are called into the kingdom of God, but everybody doesn't respond. Or if they respond, they respond in a way that God doesn't want them to. And we hope to talk about that in a moment. They come not on God's terms, but they come on their terms, or try to. If we don't get in the kingdom of God on our terms, we're welcome into the kingdom of God on God's terms. It's a covenant. But in a covenant, the difference in a covenant and a contract, if we write a contract, I get to have some input. But if God gives a covenant, I don't have any input. I accept what He offers, or I reject it. And this man that was cast aside, he wanted to come on his own term, not on God's term. Person's been called and he just doesn't respond, or he avoids it. He avoids making a decision. We had a preacher friend who is now a preacher, and he is 50 plus. He was called to be a minister, his testimony from the pulpit, at 13 years old. At 50 years old, he finally said yes. 37 years before he would say yes. 37 years. He's a good pastor, good minister, good preacher. Worked in the church all those years, but God wanted him to be a minister way back then. And he did not respond. He was called way back then, but he refused to be chosen or become one of the preachers of God. It's good that he's there now, but he wasted 37 years. Didn't really waste them. Maybe that was preparation. Maybe he sees more of the importance now. But God called him when he was 13. His testimony. The Bible is sprinkled, liberally so, with examples or incidences of people who God has called to a specific role in their kingdom. One is Noah. What did he call Noah to do? What did he call Noah to do? Come on, help me preach this morning. Huh?
Build an ark.
Gather men. Save a remnant. The world had got in such a shape by the sixth chapter of the first book of the Bible, the history of God's people. That is in shape. God said, I've got to wipe it away. I'm sorry I made them, but I'm going to save a remnant. He found a righteous man named Noah, and he said, Noah, build me an ark. And Noah responded. Now, people laughed at him. They didn't think he was in his right mind, but he did it anyway because God had called him. Another is Abraham. Abraham was called to go from the land that he was to leave his folks and go up to this land that God would show him. And he just started out kind of without a road map and said, follow, follow. God said, follow me. And Abraham followed. That's the 12th chapter of Genesis. And incidentally, this is a good lesson. It's not an inclusive lesson or all inclusive. But if you follow all these verses and read all these, you'll be pretty well versed in the calls of God on particular people. Moses. What did Moses call to do? How did God even speak to Moses? Did God speak to Moses in a fiery furnace? That's pretty close. God spoke to Moses in a fiery furnace. No. Don't say it yet. How did God speak to Moses then? From a burning bush, so a fiery bush. That was pretty close, wasn't it? But a burning bush. Who was it did God call to speak to in a fiery furnace? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then there was Daniel in the lion's den. Those four people are in the book of Daniel. And then God called Moses through a burning bush, and he said, lead my people from Egypt to Israel. Lead them out. Or to the land of Canaan, it was called then. Then he came to Samuel, and I think we preached about Samuel the other day, recently, and God spoke to Samuel while he was a young man, while he was sleeping one night, or trying to get to sleep, and God kept him awake. He kept having to jump up and run to Eli and say, Eli, did you call him? Finally, Eli said, it's God speaking to you. Called him to be a prophet. He spoke to David. He called David to be a king. He called Isaiah to be a prophet. He called Jeremiah to be a prophet. And that's what we'll deal with today. And he called Paul to be an apostle, a minister. And we find it in Acts chapter 9, but also in Acts chapter 22, where Paul gives testimony of his call. And I believe it's Acts chapter 26, where he gives somebody else. He gives a crowd in Acts 22. And I believe it's King Agrippa, one of the kings in Acts 26. He gives his testimony again, basically repeating what we find in Acts 9, the experience that he had, telling about it, his call. And then those who did not respond in a positive manner, they responded negatively. One of them is King Saul. King Saul. King Saul was called to be the king of the people of God, Israel. The people demanded a king. And God didn't want to give them one, but they kept demanding, we want to be like our neighbors. They got a king and we want a king. So God said to Samuel, get them a king, bless them a king. Anoint him a king. So he went out and God led him to Saul. And Saul was a handsome guy, tall, and just a striking figure. And they were choosing, Samuel evidently was choosing on looks and not the heart. Samuel blessed him or anointed him and he became king. But if you read that story in detail, Saul's heart was never in it. Once he even ran to hide in the anointing process, and they had to go find him. So if you will see, Saul was called to be king, but he never would say yes. He responded negatively. And he went through the motions and he ascended the throne, but he went crazy pretty quick. His heart wasn't into it. He was trying to do it his way. And I think I preached on him offering a sacrifice, an offering that Samuel was supposed to offer, only the priest was supposed to offer, and got him in real trouble. And we dealt with that a while ago. And then there's that rich ruler. Now this rich ruler, if you look on down, it says, also there is call to discipleship. All I can see in the parable of the rich young ruler, or the experience of the rich young ruler, it wasn't a parable, it was an experience, in Jesus' life, all I can find is there that Jesus was calling him to be a disciple. I don't see him being called to any particular task at that time. But he was called to, he came seeking, how do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, sell what you have and give to the poor and come follow me. He went away sorrowful. So Jesus called him, told him what to do. He said, I can't do it your way, Jesus. And Jesus let him walk away. He didn't say, no, I'll change it for you. Since you're special, since you're a rich man, he let him walk away. And he let him walk away sorrowful. And then there was Judas. I didn't have a particular verse where Judas was called, but we know what he did. Judas, I'm convinced, and others are too, we even discussed this here in the office this week, that Judas had good intentions according to his thinking, and he would not surrender his will to Jesus. And he ended up going out hanging himself, and then his stomach busted open. Wow, what a way to go. Not a way I want to go. So there are some that respond negatively, and I see those being those who were called but were not chosen. They chose not to be chosen, though King Saul kind of went along with it. Jeremiah's call. Let's think of Jeremiah's call a moment, a few minutes. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet. And a prophet is one that speaks forth God's word. Something's going to happen in the future, but he also, a prophet is one that speaks forth God's word to say, this is the way God wants you to live. He is a spokesperson for God. And kind of corresponds to the preacher in our day. I've leaned heavily on Matthew Henry, who was a theologian of the 1700s. And so, if you recognize this, if you know Matthew Henry in and out, I quote him more than once, but don't tell you every time. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet. You can see that right there in the book. Didn't have to go to Matthew Henry for that. And it says, the Bible says, the word of the Lord came to him. And Matthew Henry says, that it came with the satisfying assurance to Jeremiah that it was the word of God and not a delusion. He came with the assurance, or he experienced the assurance, that God was speaking to him, that it really was God, that it was not his own imagination or some delusion. You know, some people, sometimes today, when people say, I feel a call to the ministry, those people around him will say, you've got to be mistaken. Or you must be delusional, or you're just a little bit crazy. There's an old story that you've probably heard over and over. The man was out plowing in the field, and he saw PC written in the sky. So he goes to the preacher and said, I've been called to minister. I've been called to be a preacher, to preach Christ. And the preacher said, well, why do you think that? And he said, well, I was plowing the other day, and I looked up in the sky and I saw PC in the clouds up there. And I interpreted that to mean that Jesus was calling me to go and preach Christ. And the preacher knew the man pretty well, or the story goes, and is kind of making fun of the call of God. And so the preacher said to the man, said, I don't think that meant preach Christ. I think that meant plow corn. And some people think it's only do physical work and are questioning that God even calls us to ministry. I've dealt with it for 40 years. About once a week, or somebody will say, are you sure you're called? And well, I was, and I am. Now, it has to do with confirmation from a people, but you make the decision. What you think. But Jesus, when he was early in his ministry, his family, that's the worst one, his family thought he was crazy. They thought he was beside himself. And they even came once to take him home. And what do you do when you take your crazy family member home? You put him in the back room, lock the door, put him out in the smokehouse. Don't let anybody know that you got a little craziness in your family. That's way they did in the early days of this country. But they went to get Jesus, wanted to take him home, wanted to hide him, get him out of the way, keep him from disturbing people. They thought he was delusional. Jeremiah came with the knowledge that it was God that spoken to him. How do we know when it's God spoken to him? I use it just kind of like falling in love. Never did think it could happen. And then one day, bang, it really did happen. And you'll know, don't you? God told Jeremiah that he had ordained him a prophet to the nations, not only to Judah, but to the surrounding nations, or to be a messenger against the nations where they were wrong and needed to be corrected. The nation of the Jews in the first place, but then they were reckoned among the other nations because the Jewish people had been so influenced by the neighboring nations instead of being that influence that God had called them to be and commissioned them to be back when he called Abraham. They were to be blessed, to be a blessing. Instead of being a blessing, they followed right along with their neighbors in all of their sinful activities. Okay, so he was given to be a prophet, not to the Jews only, but to neighboring nations, and to minister to them too. And they had been kind of harmful to the Jewish people, and there were some warnings there. Just read the book of Jeremiah, the whole book. The calling, this calling of his was the Lord's doing. The calling was the Lord's doing. Even in his eternal counsel, God had designed him to be a prophet. God had designed Jeremiah to be a prophet. He was given a commission by God. He said that God told him, he said, I formed you in your belly, in the belly, and brought you forth out of the womb. God was saying, Jeremiah, I'm your owner. I own you. I formed you. So I know what I'm doing, and you can do it. It was of the Lord, and I want you to go and be a prophet for me. I knew thee, and I sanctified thee. Now, sanctified means to set apart. Or God was saying, I determined that you should be a prophet, Jeremiah, and I've set you apart for this office. The Apostle Paul had a similar experience or made a similar statement concerning himself being separated by God. God separated him from his mother's womb to be a Christian first and an apostle for Christ second. And then Jeremiah was very hesitant about being a prophet. He didn't want to. Some people, if they get to go speak for God, they say, boy, look at me now. I'm blessed. I'm sharp. I'm good. I want to do it. And y'all better watch out. And then others will say, Lord, I can't do it. Moses said, I can't do it. What did he say? He said, I don't speak very well. I stammer and stutter. I've been doing that this morning, have you? God takes even our stammering and stutterings and uses it. Then Jeremiah said, I'm too young. I don't know how to speak. And he put up all kind of arguments, saying, I'm only a child. I'm weak. I'm not able to do it. Nobody will listen, especially those important people in the government. They won't listen. See, Judah had become so sinful, God was going to send the Babylonians, and we kind of mentioned this last week, he's going to send the Babylonians to wipe them out. Because of their sinfulness, they had ignored the Sabbath. That was one thing that they had done. The Sabbath year. They'd done it for 490 years. So he said, if you'll straighten up, if you'll repent, I will bless you. But if you keep on acting like you are, I'm going to let the Babylonians come. I'm going to have the Babylonians come to get your attention, and they will destroy you. So they did. They even plowed the city. So the Lord encouraged Jeremiah to go and tell the leaders. The government and the church was all mixed up at that time. I mean, they were together. It was not anything to do with separation of church and state. And he says, say no more, I'm a child, but you go, and I'm going to be with you. then the Lord took his hand and touched Jeremiah's lips. You know, in Isaiah's experience, God had a seraphim to take some tongs and go to the altar and take some coals of fire off of the altar and touch Isaiah's lips. Because Isaiah said, "Lord, I can't speak for you. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." So the Lord cleansed his lips with fire. But in Jeremiah's case, the Lord just came and touched his lips and said, "I've touched your lips. My hand, the Lord's hand, has been on your lips." So God was saying, "I will enable you to speak, and I will enable you to speak intelligently. I will put forth my hand and touch your mouth, and I will open your lips with this touch." So it was God's words in the mouth of Jeremiah to be ready on all occasion for Jeremiah to speak. Now let's quickly look at the duties of the prophet. One of the duties of the prophet, to uproot, tear down, destroy, and overthrow. Jeremiah's job was to go say to the people, "Folks, you've been wrong. Folks, you're not living according to God's way. Folks, we need to make some changes here." And that's what he came to do. He wasn't received very well. He was justified in his argument that they wouldn't listen. Not only did they not listen, they took him and bound him up, threw him in a dry well that was full of mud in the bottom, and they treated him awful. That's just one thing they did to him. But they laughed at him, they ignored him, and Jeremiah just cried a lot. He preached and cried. He's known as the weeping prophet, and even wrote a book called Lamentations. What does lament mean? It means to cry, see? And he even got a book of his cryings or his tears. They didn't listen. It didn't matter if they didn't listen. He was told to do it. It mattered to them, but it didn't matter to God. Well, it mattered to God. He wanted them to listen. But Jeremiah was supposed to go and preach to them whether the people listened or not. He must tell them that it would be well or ill with them according as they were or were not reformed. He must set before them life and death, good and evil, according to God's declaration of the method that he takes with his kingdom. And he had to go say, "Folks, there's some things that are not right. There's a lot of things that's not right about this, and we need some repentance." It was a call to repentance. But he was also to build the plant. After they repented, after they turned away from their sin, after they confessed their sin. See, it was our assurance of forgiveness this morning. It's right there before you. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, this was said way before Jeremiah, it was said back in Solomon when they dedicated the temple, when Solomon built the temple, some how many years, 200 or 300 years before Jeremiah came along, maybe 400, I'm not sure. It says, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And this was God's promise to Solomon. When things got just unbearable, and God knew that his people were like that, he knew that they were going to need confession and repentance. He knew they were. So way back there, he said, when things are beyond bearing, when judgment is coming down on you, if you will repent, I'll forgive you. If you'll turn in the way of, to the way of righteousness, I'll forgive you. So Jeremiah was to tell what they needed to fix, what they needed to destroy, what they needed to get rid of, what they needed to root out of their lives, what they needed to destroy. And then he was to build them back up with the good news. Build them back up. Heal them. As God had promised that he would. That was God's doing too. My people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9, Jesus says, ask the Lord to send out workers into the harvest fields. Jesus looked and saw the multitude of people. Many, many people out there, and he had compassion on them, for they were scattered. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to those with him, gathered with him in the hearing of his voice, ask the Lord, or pray that the Lord will send workers into the harvest. So we've talked about God calling us to be involved in the harvest of souls for the kingdom of God. It could be this morning that God is calling you to ministry. It could be this morning that God is calling you to some kind of missionary work, a lifetime of it. Or it could be that God is calling you to a short-term experience with Him. And it could be that you're the one that He is just calling to discipleship this morning, to trust Him as your Lord and Savior and become one of His disciples. You know what God is saying to you this morning. I hope He is speaking to you. And I give you an opportunity on God's behalf to respond publicly to His call upon your life. Let's stand together and sing 378. Let's sing, it's only one life. That's all we have to give. Only one life do we have to give. And let's sing the first and the fourth stanza of 378. And if your response is a public one this morning, make your way here to the altar and pray with you and share with you, see what God is calling you to do. 1 and 3. Let us not rest, Lord, and we have responded. in a positive way. In Christ's name.